Well, we're back. Now, today I want to cover and begin a series with on Eric Fromm. Now, he was a social engineer who was very instrumental in the restructuring of our nation to change the paradigm. And you'll see this from his material. As I was just covering the dialectic, first of all, you have to understand it. The thesis is simply position. Okay, it's God giving Adam, you can eat of these trees, you cannot eat of that tree. And there's a condition, because it would be meaningless. Without force, law is irrelevant. And we'll see that. It's what happened in the garden. And it's only momentarily. You know, you can deceive yourself, and then eventually it catches up with you. And it did with Adam, and it will with every soul on the face of the earth. Now, when Satan had pulled Eve into this facilitated meeting, the issue was consensus with the sensuous. In other words, with feelings, the outcome is determined. The purpose of the outcome is not just to do what's right. It is to do what's right in your own eyes, through your own feelings. It's all perception. And so when Satan got the woman to share her feelings of resentment, I ought to be able to eat of the tree, oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. And we've all had this happen to us. Anytime you're told you can't do something that you want to, in other words, again, something in the environment or something even in your mind, because you can create your own world in your own imagination, and something comes along and blocks that. Now, what's being blocked is your connection with what produces pleasure, what produces your heart's desire, the love of the creation. Because it's the world around you that produces, stimulates the dopamine. And then if you can then create an environment where you can control this stimulation of dopamine, that's why drug addicts will steal money. They don't want to work. They want the pleasure, lovers of pleasure. And they will do whatever it takes to keep that pleasure going. And so that's somebody on drugs. But we can physically create an environment for the stimulation of drugs, and it's artificially produced. See, it's the environment again stimulates it. If I can shape the environment, control it, they call it climate control, environment control, I can then always produce the production or the emancipation and the release, a liberation. And I use those words deliberately because that's what happens in the synaptic gap with this dopamine. It's directly tied to socialism. You know, you're in the classroom doing your homework, it's boring, and then the teacher says, recess, or the bell rings. What happens? Wow, you know, the dopamine is flowing. It's liberated from restraint. Folks, any believer out there who thinks that heaven is going to be dopamine is going to be disappointed. God gives everyone a new body, and it's a spiritual body. It's not a fleshly body. So if you're hung up on dopamine, it's going to be a very devastating time when you stand before God, because you're loving the world. Now, is God against you having pleasure? If you don't have dopamine flowing in you, if you don't have a little pleasure in this life under God, I don't want to be around you. You're depressing. See, so you need that. And it's a byproduct. It's not the agenda in this life. It's a physical attribute that God has given us. And so even, I guarantee the Apostle Paul was looking at God's creation, the trees and the water and everything else, and saying, God, you are wonderful. God is good. God is great. And in that praising of God, there was still some dopamine. But he didn't make that his foundation. Now, today in the church, that's marketing. All of marketing is to the dopamine. You don't market the word of God. You can't market the word. Jesus said you must suffer, denying yourself. You know, that's getting rid of the dopamine. Picking up your cross, that's not a dopamine moment. And following Jesus, that's spiritual. That's not dopamine. Now, there can be some dopamine with it, but that's a byproduct. If you're setting your mind on following Jesus to get some pleasure out of it, temporal pleasure, you've deceived yourself and you're deceiving everybody else. Again, I'm not saying, again, it's not that you don't have, you will have pleasure, but it's a byproduct. Just like fellowship is a byproduct. Where two or three are gathered in my name, he is the object. He's objective truth. He is the way. You know, what is that way? He said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. That's the way. My ways are not your ways. My ways, God says, is my, whoever's under me, obeys me, accepts me as the author of all things and the authority. That's Christ's way. Bring captive every thought to the obedience. See, that's Jesus' way. Obedience of the of Jesus, you know. Obedience of Christ. To who? To the Father. What my Father commands, that's what I do. And he who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. I repeat that over and over and over because, folks, this is so simple. God gives us all a measure of faith. And with faith, then, you obey the parent. You trust in him. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. But in the dialectic, which we have naturally within us, that's our carnal nature, we lean to our own understanding. And what Satan got Eve to do was to shift or change the paradigm to leaning to her own understanding. So she's looking at the tree. It's good for food. Physiologically, it was absolutely right. It was good for food. All the trees were good for food. God even said it. It was pleasing to the eyes. All the trees were pleasing to the eyes. So there we have dopamine, you know, smell bread, dopamine. It's good for food, dopamine. You get some pleasure from that as well. I mean, why would she be interested in this tree when she's got all the others for nutrition? But this tree gives her dopamine. It's something that every time she's going by, she can't touch. So there's dopamine associated. The environment stimulates it. And that tree was stimulating dopamine. And so when she's looking at the tree, justifying relationship with the tree, it's what can I get out of this situation for myself? That's the world today. That's globalism, humanism, communism, environmentalism. You know, all the isms out there is people saying, well, we care. We're being altruistic. No, it's what can I get out of this situation for me? And you say, well, why would somebody die? Well, it's because they will be remembered for what they're doing. So they're getting dopamine in the moment, in their imagination, of how the world will treat them because they suffered for humanity. There's dopamine involved. That's the love of the world. See? And what is involved? Lust of the flesh. There's dopamine. Good for food. Lust of the eyes, it's pleasing to the eyes. Desirous to make one wise, because a wise person is complimented. You know, if you're a wise person, you know, can solve people's problems, every time you're walking down the street, people will be waving at you and say, hi, how you doing? Really, really love you, brother, you know. And it's just this, oh man, dopamine alley. A world on drugs. Environment stimulated. See, and so that's what a facilitator is all about. How can I create this environment where we can get in touch? You know, let the child within out. What is the child within? Wants the toy. Doesn't want to have to do what somebody else tells them to do. Just wants to follow the drugs. You know, a two-year-old is just a druggie. They're just chasing that drug. And that's why the mother is chasing them around all day long. Give them a little piece of paper and writing on it, you know. And you'd hope they spend an hour and a half on that piece of paper drawn. But you know what? After once over the line, there's no more dopamine being released. And so they're just chasing the drug. And they fill up that paper in 5 minutes, and they look at the wall, dopamine heaven, and they head off to the wall to worship Mother Earth, Gaia, and the cosmic forces, because the environment is what stimulates the dopamine. They look into the environment for their salvation, so they can get more of it. And you come along, and you say, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, and you get them off the drug. And you make them sit down, or you have to chase them sometimes, and get them doing something that's productive. Being producer-driven, not consumer-driven. See, consumers, why do you go buy stuff? You know, you buy a lot of stuff because of the way it looks. It gives you dopamine. That's what marketing, as I was saying, is all about. Jesus was unbecoming. The gospel is a bloody gospel. It's of death. It's of dying to yourself daily. That gets you off the drug. But we have a marketed gospel today. It's another gospel. The Greek word for another is anti. It's not opposite. It really is. But it's just a different. There is no different with God. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. A little change of the gospel changes the whole thing. God is holy and pure and righteous. He's complete. And so the agenda of the dialectic is to get us into our feelings, which are changing. And so Eve says, I ought to be able to touch it, lest she die. Satan says, you won't die. And now she's thinking, she's theorizing. She's the first scientist. It's observable. Her perception is telling her there is nothing wrong with this tree. And if there's nothing wrong with this tree, then God is irrational. See, that's the only outcome you can have. This is why when today you speak the truth to people, they glaze over because you're irrational. And if you're irrational, you're irrelevant. What you're saying is not relevant to their life, because when you share the word of God today, you share the law of God today. See, that's to the soul. They're not interested in the soul. They're interested in dopamine, because dopamine is not a part of the soul. The dopamine is the flesh, that which God formed from the dust of the ground. It's not a part of God breathing the breath of life into the nostrils of man, he becoming a living soul. So the focus today is in the church is not, the apostate church that is not on the souls of men, but upon the dopamine of men, upon the flesh of men. And I've written extensively on the law of God in the last article, Identification of Paradigms. Because it's the law that brings us to contrition. It's the law that cuts in between that environment and the dopamine and the mind that looks into the environment for more of the drug that the world produces. And it goes right to the soul. And unless that is dealt with, the rest is hypocrisy. Because love and mercy and grace with God are not separated from his law. God's law and his love are synonymous. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. And so when God put a law in the garden, it was foundational to an understanding of his love. But when Adam and Eve both went to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and made that their rational, you know, they became enlightened Christians. You know, not Christians then, but enlightened believers even. You know, we're still under God. No, they weren't. They were enemies of God. In fact, when God confronted them, they didn't repent. They said, well, it's not my fault. It's this woman's fault. You know, it's that serpent's fault. It's somebody else's fault. Have you heard this message? It's not the criminal's fault. It was the environment he was raising in. Listen to the dialectical process that's coming right out of the garden from Adam and Eve to God. It's the same argument. And so you have to have a sensuous need to touch, taste, sight, smell, sound. You have to have this environment that stimulates the dopamine, and you're looking into the environment. You have to have this sensuous need. And then sense perception is when you look into the environment, it all makes sense. There's nothing wrong with your child going out and playing. That's what the counselor would say. But see, it was nothing wrong with Adam and Eve eating of that tree. It was not wrong unless God said, don't eat of it. It's not wrong for your child to go out and play until the parent says, you can't go out. That's a top-down patriarchal system. But all of counseling today, as Carl Rogers said, once we get you into counseling, it's what does the child think? That's all Satan was doing. What does it mean to me? Well, the tree means something to me. I like it. It means food. It means pleasure. It actually means I'm going to be like God, wise. I can evaluate for myself. Good, 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 good. See, and that's the pride of life. Folks, you get onto the pride of life, that's the most subtle, because you can use the pride of life for the kingdom of God. You know, people coming to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, look at all we've done in your name. That's the pride of life. And he says, depart from me, you work of iniquity, because you just did the dialectical process. You were down there with the woman in the garden practicing the very same scenario that Satan got her to practice. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. Those are the works of sin. Those are the works of depravity. Those are the works of abomination, because you see the dialectical process is a homosexual, pedophile, bestiality structure. Look at our culture today. Well, I wanted to give you a little background on the dialectic. That's it. And it's the foundation for church growth, emergent church. Peter Drucker was used by Rick Warren to build the church growth, emergent church system. Peter Drucker, who defended homosexuality till he died. This is where the apostate church is going, one in one with the world. It cannot stop itself because it's on the dialectical road, the broad and wide path to destruction, but a road of pleasure. The pleasure principles of Freud. Freud, who builds his psychology on Orpheus, who was a Greek figure who made love to young boys, homosexual love. That's the foundation of psychology. And sociology is, since we have Eros out there in society, then you must allow the child within to relate with society. Your identity is found with a community, not found above you, not found in a nature above humanity, but in humanity itself. That's the very system structure that Satan was giving Eve, the woman in the garden, to praxis. And Adam just abdicated, and everyone since then has done what Eve's done, because we've all been deceived. We come up into this world as children, chasing the dopamine. And if we don't have parents who discipline us and teach us what's right and wrong, dad and mom aren't perfect, but that office is. If that office is gone, and Mark says, once you realize that earthly family is God's secret, once you realize that traditional home, that office, that patriarchal office of parents chasing their children and teaching them right from wrong is God's secret. Mark said that family, that patriarchal system must be annihilated. The UN, the Council of Foreign Relations, all of our, the health program, folks. It's all about going after that home environment. You can get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and look for Warren Bennis's articles. He writes about the family itself must be annihilated. You got to interfere. You got to come in between the parents and the child and allow the child to share their dissatisfactions to higher authority and do the very same pattern that Satan did with Eve in the garden. Very same system. You can use all the ids and ego and superego. You can change all the terminology. Every social psychology book I read, and I've read thousands of them, all of the social programs that I've looked at, I can take Freud to those six verses, Genesis 3, 1 through 6. The moment you move away from God, from faith, it's impossible to please God without faith. You have to accept his word as is, period. Now you know it, see? You hear it, you know it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some minister preaches it to you. Somebody teaches it to you. You pick up the word of God and you read it. Now you know. My people destroyed for lack of knowing, because everybody is now hung up on opinions of the word of God. They're running around reading everybody's books on the word of God rather than studying. Now, there used to be books that were written to show you in detail that what the word, you know, the Greek and the Hebrew, and to give you a clearer study of it, real Bible study. But now it's incorporating oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, how do you feel, and what do you think, and so feels, and I feel, and I think. And you know, God can't do anything without our feelings, and God can't do anything without our thinking. Let me tell you something, God can have the rocks worshiping him. He'd rather have rocks worshiping him than men worshiping him as apostate. That's worse than a rock. It's mocking God, and God will not be mocked. So let's pick up here and get into Eric Fromm. Now, the reason I'm focusing on him is a textbook out there every teacher is certified off of. Every Christian teacher who's certified is certified off this book. Every teacher in your community. And I've mentioned this book over and over, Bloom's Taxonomies, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives. Book 1, Cognitive Domain, came out in 1956. Book 2 was The Effective Domain, came out in 1964. David Krathwohl is a leading editor, but Benjamin Bloom was fully involved with both of these works. He was the guiding light. And these taxonomies are classifying. They're classifying whose thesis, whose position, whose patriarch, then whose transition. That's matriarch, that's feelings. See, who's just wanting to get along, and you got to have that state, because, see, if your child just wants to get along, you tell them to do something, they're just sitting around the house not doing it, then you're going to have to deal with their feelings. And then the heresy arc paradigm, the transformational level of Bloom's taxonomy, see, you have thesis, antithesis, synthesis. The synthesis form, that's what Paul says, avoid the oppositions of so-called science. It's not real science, because when you look at man and you say behavioral science, all you've got is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and all you've got is the laws of the flesh. Remember, Paul says, with my mind I love the law of God, but I have this law of the flesh. Who can deliver me from this body of death? So the law of flesh directly ties to the body of death. And the law of God is not enough to rescue you. All it can tell you is that you're dead. You're dead in your sins. That's all it can do. And it is the tool where God moves you. It's the tutor to inform you that you need a Savior. And so if the church moves away from the law of God and just goes to grace and mercy, and we have a loving God, and you leave out that law, you don't have contrition. You have a false gospel. Because God's law and his love and his mercy and his grace are all together. Jesus didn't negate the law. He fulfilled the law. On the day of judgment, it's going to be God's law or the blood of the Lamb. Now, when Paul says, with my mind, I love the law of God, that simply means that now when I look at the law of God, because of Jesus as my propitiation, His righteousness is imputed to me. I'm not under the curse of the law. I look at the law. I see God's mercy and grace upon me. And so when I fail God, I turn to him and I repent and I say, Lord, will you forgive me and help me today? I can't do it. See, because my nature and your nature is, what can I get out of this for me? Our nature, when you get up in the morning, you're nothing but a child grabbing a crayon, heading to the walls. And without God's direct help in your life, without him directing you, that's all you can ever be. The best you'll ever do in your life is as a filthy rag before God. That's the best you'll ever do. It is his work and his work alone. That's why the elders in Revelation, when they're given crowns, what do? They cast them back at Jesus. They understand. And yet today it's like, oh, hold on to that crown. Look at prosperity. Get the dopamine. They're not hung up on dopamine. They're hung up on, their eyes are up on their Savior, the one who gives them mercy and grace, and they're not in disharmony with his law. Because the law which was external, which condemned us, revealed to us our wickedness, is now within us. Within our heart, by the work of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we walk in God's Spirit and not in the flesh. We set our mind on things above and not on things of the earth. If you think dialectic, you cannot set your mind on things above. If you are before Satan as the woman in the garden, she's not setting her mind on things above. Because when she sets her mind on things below, the tree is good, then God is evil. She didn't say God was evil, but the paradigm, if you do the dialectical paradigm, anything outside of common human experience is evil. Do you know that Paulo Freire, who is a Latin American educator, passed away, I think, in 1994. His writings are becoming the foundation for our education system. He says any person who prevents a natural inquiry of a child into the environment is a violent crime. Satan would be saying the same thing. When God brings a cannot, must not, thou shalt not in your life and prevents you from getting that dopamine from the environment, doing the group hug, the consensus, the bonding moment with the creation, hugging Mother Earth, Gaia, and the cosmic forces, anyone who prevents that, that is a violent crime. You're holding on to your property that prevents commonness with the community. It's a violent crime. You're saying this is my child and not your child and preventing your child from bonding with the cosmic forces of the universe. That's a violent crime. Do you understand where we are going with our current government and where this society and the world is going? That's the spirit of the Antichrist. And they can do it in the name of Jesus because it will be the apostate church who will persecute the believers because the believers say what God says goes and not man. Man's opinions do not count on the day of judgment. How you feel and what you think won't amount to a hill of beans. It means nothing, folks. Nothing. Why are you concerned about how people feel and think about you when on the day of judgment it doesn't matter? What is it to gain the world and lose your soul? Because gaining the world is the approval of men. It's the respect of men, and God is not a respecter of persons. Now, as we look at Eric Fromm, that Bloom's taxonomy is built off of, and you can get the source. I'm a researcher. I have to pin everything down. On page 166 of the Effective Domain book, and by the way, you can ask any teacher out there about Bloom's taxonomy, and they'll all smile. Wow, you know about Bloom too? I have to use it in my classroom to develop the curriculum. Whoever develops the curriculum develops the paradigm. And so every child in our nation is using Satan's paradigm, learning how to justify human relationship, globalism, communism, socialism, democracy, for the sake of world peace. That's the same system. And at the bottom of page 166, at the top, Bloom uses the word Weltanschauung. At the bottom, he lists two men that reflect this worldview of his taxonomy. The first one we've covered before, Theodore Adorno, 1950, his book, Authoritarian Personality. But the second one was Eric Fromm, his book, 1941, Escape from Freedom. See, the book was all about Germany. The socialists had been able to move man's mind away from God. The sacred was now removed. There is no higher authority above man. But they couldn't attach man to the group. They couldn't attach him to communism. They couldn't do the group hug. They couldn't praxis the consensus and the dialogue and the facilitation to bring men to a cosmic mind. Instead, they lost him and they looked to a higher authority again. But since God was gone, they looked to a man. And that was Hitler. That's Escape from Freedom from Eric Fromm. And so Adorno and Fromm and other transformational Marxists came to the United States in 1933 from Frankfurt, Germany. These are transformational Marxists. These were dialectical and Freud. Freud was dialectic and Marx was dialectic. They merged the two. I just call it user-friendly Marxism, communism with a smile. They were kicked out of the hardline Marxists. That's why we went and rescued Gorbachev, who is a transformational Marxist, from the traditional Marxists. These were the guys who came into our universities in the 30s and 40s and 50s and became the guiding light of our current culture. This was where psychology developed in the 50s and 60s. All of psychology is built on transformational Marxism. Social psychology, social is Marx, psychology is Freud, both are dialectic. And so when Fromm is saying he came to America and we saw these traditional families out there teaching the children cannot, must not, thou shalt not, and chasing him because they might say oughta, shoulda, mighta, could, and doing what they were doing that was wrong and teaching them righteousness, and we're going to remove America from the fear of God. We're going to get the Ten Commandments out of the schools. We're going to get prayer out of the schools. We're going to get the Bible out of the schools. We're going to get chastening out of the schools. But these kids are still going to have this patriarchal system because they're in this traditional home, and they're going to look for a man, a president, to lead us out of this abomination, and that's fascism. And so we have to do what Marx said. We have to destroy the traditional home before it all happens. And Bloom's taxonomy was to develop a curriculum system, as Satan did, come between God and the children and facilitate an environment where the children could share their own dissatisfactions to higher authority, get their oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda be out, think for themselves, and when they would go home, they would destroy the traditional home, create crisis in the home. Am I speaking truth here? Absolutely. That is the purpose and the only purpose for Bloom's taxonomy. And I'll share that quote in a future program. And you get on my website, look at Concerning Bloom. I have an article. He simply says on the Effective Domain book, page 83, that this will cause conflict between the parents and their children. Why would you send your child into an institute which said, we have a curriculum system, it's going to separate your child from you? Destroy your patriarchal paradigm in your home. There's no other purpose for public and even Christian accredited schools are built off of Bloom. I just look at America. You know, the Marxists look at America and say, we're the stupidest people on the face of the earth. We give our children to the beast. We get them on drugs, the dopamine. And they're now lovers of pleasure. And if you chasten your child, they see that's a violent crime today. Well, time is always escaping me. Okay, we're going to build from this. And now, next session, I'm going to go into a lot of quotes from Fromm. I always want to get going in this stuff, but I always sense people are new on the program, and I encourage you to get a hold of prior programs and come to know this stuff. This is where we are as a culture. Well, I'll close with this, and I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Turn to His Word. Study His Word. Not man's opinions, His Word. It's not that you don't read men's opinions. I do. But I always check it out. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways, everything you do, acknowledge Him. Glorify Him. And let Him be the one who directs your steps.